The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Covenant Network invites you to join Patty Schneier as she and her guests talk about one of the greatest moments in our lives, when we discover our personal vocation from God, our pearl of great price. From that point on, nothing is the same. Our yes determines our unique pathway to holiness and how we will live for Christ here on earth. Join her to hear inspiring stories of discernment, response, perseverance, and joy. And now, here is Patty Schneier.
And welcome to another broadcast of The Pearl of Great Price, the show that celebrates the beauty of every vocation and the joy in living it out. My name is Patty Schneier. I'm your host here on Covenant Network. And today we are concluding part two of a very special show. As I said last week, it's hard to believe, but The Pearl of Great Price has been on the air for 2.5 years now, with over 125 different guests who have all shared their vocation stories. And when I started the show, I never thought that I would actually interview my own son, Father John Schneier, because I didn't want the show to be about him or me or any of the other family members or friends, or just to have it to be too personal. But since the show has now, of course, been established in its own right, and there's so many other priest stories on the archives from The Pearl of Great Price, we did decide that it would be a good thing for Mother's Day during the month of May to do a special mother-son broadcast. And so last week, if you missed it, you can go to my website, pattyschneier.com, click on that. We began the conversation with my son, Father John Schneier, and started to hear about his story to the priesthood. And then I also interjected some things from a mother's perspective as well. And that's why it was taking a little bit longer than usual to just hear his story. So today, I'm going to just recap a little bit of what we talked about last week. Father John was here and talking about our family, that it was a very typical family as far as growing up, and that Sunday Mass was the central and focal point, and being immersed into the life of the church, how that really was formational for him. And then he described how he was in high school, very involved, but got involved in campus ministry and did a lot of the youth retreats and got to know the priests in high school where he attended at St. Louis U High. He talked about making the faith his own, which was at a time when we did have a little bit of a family, not a crisis, but definitely a change of events when I became sick after some complications after a surgery, and I was in the intensive care and did almost die. It was a life or death situation, and it forced John to ask some very crucial questions about what's important in life, and that's when he really made the faith his own. And then from there, he heard the call at a Steubenville conference during adoration when he just felt that intimacy and said, I want something like that. And he heard God say, well, then, okay, you know what this means. And he did that quiet, okay, okay, okay. So he entered the seminary at age 17. He was almost 18, but he was still 17. And as a mom, that was a little bit nervous for me because I was, of course, concerned about his maturity and being so young. But at the same time, we were very, very excited for him, happy for him. And we saw him just come alive during those seminary years. So we're going to continue this interview right now with Father John Schneier. He's the associate pastor at St. Joe's in Cottaville, and he is my son, so it's kind of a fun, casual conversation. So welcome back, John.
Thank you very much, Mom. Good to be with you.
All right. So I kind of let our listeners, I brought them up to speed of where we left off of you in the seminary and just experiencing that wonderful time in your life. I mean, I remember you saying, these have been the best years of my life.
They were. It was a wonderful time. I was blessed with great priest formators, Monsignor Cronin, Bishop Rice, who's a pretty sure will be lifelong friends, Father David Skillman, Father Jim Mason as well. Great people who really challenged me, really pushed the envelope for me, you could say, really forced me to grow in areas that I needed to, but also were great friends, great mentors, and people that I admire greatly for their holiness and for their priestly zeal. So that was huge for me, having them around. Hopefully a lot of their virtues rubbing off on me, you could say.
I remember saying exactly to you when we would hear or meet one of your formators, I was just like, John, if you just get an ounce sure. from him or an ounce from him, and seeing, you're right, their example was just phenomenal. We were in awe of the formation that you were receiving.
Yeah.
Whether or not you became a priest, we knew you were getting very, very good formation.
Right. We're blessed with that in our archdiocese. Even guys that discern out are grateful for the time to be able to examine their lives. It's really a rarity to be able to have time that concentrated on personal development, personal holiness, and personal growth. It's a unique environment that seminary is. And even if I wouldn't have become a priest, I would have been very grateful for even just that experience.
Absolutely. Okay, so what do you remember most about your ordination day? And then I'm going to tell you
sure.
what I remember as a mom.
Sure. It was a crazy, crazy day.
Well, it's full for sure. It's
very
so
full.
Exciting.
It's very full. The whole thing was pretty much scripted out weeks in advance of what we would be doing. But gosh, I think one point, this was kind of funny. Father Clark Phillip, my classmate, his stole was about to fall off, and as I walked by him, and one of the times we had to go up to the Archbishop's chair to get something or get some ritual, I whispered to him, "Hey, your stole's about to fall off." And he's like, "Oh, thanks."
So just that humanness.
There's some humanness to it.
What moment was most profound?
Sure,
for you, though?
Most profound. I think it was the kiss of peace, just with my old seminary buddies, those guys that I looked up to. I was now one of them. I was brothers with them. And there were a few of them that were kind of in a row together. And it was very profound to just one by one just sort of be welcomed into that fraternity, into that brotherhood of the priesthood. That was really, really special to be able to have that moment.
And there were so many priests, of course, that we knew. And again, you watched
sure.
them each one by one, that kiss of peace. And also when they laid hands
right.
on you to
right.
pray over you. You're right. That is a very, very special moment in the ordination rite itself as well.
Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful ritual. If you ever get the chance to go to an ordination mass, it's probably one of the most beautiful things that the church does on a regular basis.
It's true.
It's,
and
it's
I
really
will say
fantastic.
Now, from my perspective, I love the tradition that we have here in St. Louis. Right after ordination, you process out and then you go over to the little side altar and you get your picture taken for the St. Louis Review. And then Archbishop Carlson hands each of the newly ordained men an envelope. And inside that envelope, you are opening it up and finding out what your parish assignment is going to be.
Right.
And it was...
Yeah, either way, you smile. Whether you love it or you hate it,
well,
you have to smile.
It was a beautiful moment because for you, you had been a deacon at St. Joseph in Cottleville and you had lived in the basement.
Right.
And so you opened up your envelope and your assignment was St.
Sure.
Joe's in Cottleville. And you just announced with this big smile, you shouted out, "I get to move upstairs."
Yes, moving on up.
So it wasn't a move to a different parish.
Correct.
It was just a move
yeah.
upstairs into
moving
the rectory.
Upstairs.
And everyone was so excited for that assignment.
Sure,
for
I was
you.
Too.
It was great. So, there's so many things on ordination day, but from our perspective, I remember that was just beautiful. Okay, so then moving into this has been your first assignment. You've been ordained almost 3 years. And what surprises or challenges, maybe that you didn't expect, what were some of those for you in your first year or second year into your priesthood? Because we know, as we've heard on this show many, many times, and for any vocation, you know, when you get married, there's some surprises. There's some things you have to adjust to. What were some of those things for you?
Some of them are specific to the assignment. We are the largest parish in the Archdiocese, 5,300 families. We've got just about 1,000 kids in our grade school and preschool. So the sheer scale of some of the work that we do is quite remarkable. We hear a lot of confessions. We do a lot of weddings. We have a lot of funerals. We just have a lot of volume. So time management was crucial for that. Just having to be able to manage all that, the quantity, being able to delegate some things, being able to, honestly, having to say no. That's a very difficult challenge, especially in a parish with a lot going on, having to say no to things that you might even want to do, things that you know are good, but you just physically either don't have time for, it would drain you, or it isn't 100% necessary that you're there. That's a difficult thing, especially for a young priest that generally we want to do everything. You know, what they say, the cry of the new priest is give me souls. But you know, to be able to say no is a skill that you need to learn.
And as your mom, again, I'm just giving a little perspective here. John is always one who wanted to be at everything. You were an excited kid, that fear of missing out. You did not want to miss out ever on anything. So I would say that, yes, that would have to be for you one of the hardest things.
Right.
And you're a people person, that you would want to be at every event, but again, becomes physically impossible.
Yeah, for the most part, being with people is very refreshing for me. Some other people, it's exhausting. But for the most part, it's very refreshing and life-giving for me. So, but you can only do so much of that. And to be able to say no and to be able to moderate my time and to moderate my work is crucial in an assignment that big.
So let me ask you this question. At a busy parish like yours, and you know, people can just get caught up in work, work, work. How do you maintain your prayer life?
Sure.
Because even as your mother, I'm thinking, how is he maintaining his prayer life?
Yeah. This is something, at least a mantra that I've had in the last couple of months. I have to be okay with being unavailable. Being unavailable for an hour.
So do you sneak away and go to adoration?
Yeah. We have a chapel in the rectory. I just sneak away there, and you're not going to find me for an hour.
But that's when you have
your
prayer.
But that's when I do it, yeah. For the most part, try to get my holy hour in before noon. If I have the early, early Mass, I'll do it after Mass. If I have our 8 o'clock Mass, I'll try to do it before. Some days I'll do it after. Some days I'll do it around lunch. But I have become much more comfortable with being unavailable for an hour. And worst case scenario, somebody leaves me a message or I get an email, and so I just have to deal with it when I get back. I have a pretty quick trigger when it comes to replying to those types of things, and I like to be prompt on those. But being unavailable means, yeah, I might have a couple voicemails waiting for me, but that's okay.
But you're in prayer for that hour.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge part of my spiritual life. I was on retreat a couple months ago and just reinforced that a lot. So yeah, being unavailable for an hour is so important.
Because what you're doing is you're making yourself available to God.
Right, and by being unavailable for an hour, I will be better when I'm with my people. It helps me be at my best when I'm with them. It's really for their sake that I take the time away in prayer.
Excellent. That's beautiful. And that's, you know, actually for all of us. As a mom, I have had a holy hour going to adoration. I'm a better mom. I'm a better wife. It's for all of us in all of our vocations. Okay, so how have you grown or been stretched since you've become a priest?
Sure. I'd say the one area that I didn't have a lot of experience going into priesthood would be marriage prep. We had a bit of a curriculum revision in the seminary, and I got kind of our grade kind of got caught in the last of the old, but we didn't get a lot of marriage prep classes before we got ordained. It's not the case now. They've revised the curriculum. It's a great program, but I didn't have a lot of that. And I think I inherited my first day there about 8 weddings, which is more than most priests will have in a year or two, honestly. And so inheriting all of those and just meeting with couple after couple after couple, it forced me to create, or at least create a marriage prep style, if you will. It was a lot of trial and error, you could say, of just knowing what to say, when to say it based on the given situation. Sought out the advice of a lot of priest brothers on that, of just how to run marriage prep, the types of questions to ask, things to look out for. Again, a lot of trial and error.
Well, with all of us, we learn on the, not, for lack of a better word, on the job.
Right. Things that was very much on the job training.
Sometimes you have to do that. As a mom, you learn as you go. I mean, you're my oldest. You're my firstborn, and I made a ton.
Tell me about it.
I made a ton of mistakes with you, and I had to apologize. And you know that. That's true.
Sure.
So it's true. As a new priest, you do have some things that are trial and error, and you're stretched. All of us are stretched.
Yeah. That was a big stretch.
That's beautiful, though. I love your honesty. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
Okay, so Father John, if you've just joined us, I'm interviewing my own son here, so I'm calling him John. But if you've just joined us, he's the associate pastor at St. Joe's in Cottleville, a recently ordained priest, not brand new, but still in his first assignment. And we're just continuing this. It's a two-part series. We're hearing about his journey as a new priest, and I'm giving my perspective, too, as a mom. So it's a special Mother's Day edition here on the Pearl of Great Price. So, John, what is your passion, either in your relationship with the Lord? Is it the Eucharist? Is it a Marian devotion? Is it, you know, what's your passion that you try to bring to the people? Or where do you become most alive as you minister and as you try to be Christ to other people?
Sure. I'd say 3 ways. The first of which is just in the celebration of the Mass in general.
You love that?
I love it. I love it. Just the encounter that you have with Christ in the Eucharist and in the sacrifice of Calvary that is represented there. Something so profound. And I always try, in how I offer Mass and just my demeanor and how I go about it, to really help other people try to enter into that and to see that, that it is a transcendent moment. It's a transcendent action that takes us out of the ordinary, out of our ordinary lives, and lifts us up. It elevates us and it transports us back to the Last Supper and back to the foot of Calvary.
So is that what you try to portray or teach people, that when you're at Mass, you are transported?
Yeah, you're at the foot of Calvary. You're at the foot of Calvary, absolutely.
You're at the foot of Calvary.
You're at the foot of Calvary. So yeah, I always love that. And I always try to, I mean, not so much tell myself that, but I know that deep down in my heart. And that's
always
what
do you say to God in that moment?
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. That's what you say to God in that moment at the foot of Calvary. So yeah, I always try to communicate that to my people and to the parishioners, and it's a passion of mine. A second, which would be preaching. I love preaching. I probably get that from you.
We do have the gift.
Dad's an accountant. God love him. And he can write a prepared good speech. You've got that gift, I think, more in abundance. I'd say Dad's got his own.
I think we call it the gift of gab.
Yes, yes.
And it is in our family.
It is.
It's not just
it's
me.
True.
It definitely goes back to my grandmother,
oh, yes,
my relatives. We just have the gift of gab.
We do.
But actually, you're right in that we're communicators.
Right. And it's something that I place a lot of priority on. I try to work on my homily throughout the week, a couple hours at least. It's the time where I get to talk directly to my parish. You know, really the words of the Mass, it's not so much me talking, it's Christ. But this is the time where I can talk directly to them. The time where I, for the vast majority of people, interact with them. And it's important, I think, that we as priests get it right, that we put priority and that we put time into our homilies so that there's something to them, there's meat attached to them, and that there's something of substance there that people can take with them.
And I love what you said about just preparing all week, because for this radio show, I prepare hours for every single radio show, for every talk that I give in public ministry. People don't realize the time of preparation. It may look like I just get up there because I don't want to read from a piece of paper,
right,
but in order to not read from a piece of paper, you've spent hours and you've practically almost memorized it yourself.
Sometimes. You get better at going over it a little bit before Mass and just being able to, for lack of a better word, wing it. I have detailed notes in front of me.
Right.
I kind of think in complete sentences, so I have a lot of text on there, but I've gotten better at being able to kind of know where my thought process is going and kind of knowing what's coming next, so I don't have to look down and just read it off a piece of paper.
And I also do believe that there is something very, very important of relying on the Holy Spirit and praying to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, show up in a big way, and whatever you want to come out of my mouth, let it be your words, your tone, your voice.
Sure.
So that's kind of what I think is involved in preaching. I know I'm not a
sure
priest, but I know from my own perspective that's important.
Yeah. Now, I'd say the third way that makes me come alive in ministry would be working with our youth group. We are so blessed with a wonderful youth group. Our youth minister, Danny Zink, is actually a high school buddy of mine. He was a year ahead of me at SLU High. We were in band together, so I've known him for 12, 13 years now. He's a great man, and that was one of the biggest joys when I found out I was going to St. Joe's as a deacon. I was going to get to work with your youth group. He does a great job of helping those kids fall in love with Christ. And the best example of that was sometime during the summer, one of the moms in the youth group has a 3 a.m. holy hour in our adoration chapel. And the kids had begged her one night, can we take your holy hour and just have us alone in the adoration chapel for an hour? And she's like, yeah, sure, you can. Yeah, I'll gladly take a night to sleep. And the kids just went in there, had a mix of just silent prayer, and one of them brought a guitar. I was fast asleep for all of this. And then somebody for the 4 o'clock hour didn't show up, so a couple of them just stayed around until 5 in the morning. And then they were all like, hey, let's go to Denny's. So they went to Denny's for an hour, hour and a half, and then a bunch of them went home, and then a couple of the girls were like, well, it's almost 6:30 in the morning, let's just go to morning mass. And I heard that the next morning, and I was like, hey, you all are nuts. But my gosh. And I told that story to a priest buddy of mine, and he said, well, they sound in love. And I was like, yeah, you're right. It was the first time I'd kind of been described that way. We got kids that are in love and on fire for the gospel. You say jump, and they'll say how high when it comes to Catholic stuff. They love it. They eat it up. And to have a very receptive audience for them is a great blessing. And an audience that's hungry for the truth, hungry for the faith. They're also hysterically funny. They have a conspiracy theory that I cannot tie my shoes. It's a legit conspiracy theory that they don't believe I can tie my shoes.
Well, as his mom, I will right now, let's make it clear. Yes, you can tie your shoes. I did teach him.
Yes.
Trust me. But what I will say from, again, a mother's perspective, and when you come just home on your day off and we get to see you, you always have fun youth group stories to tell.
There's no shortage.
And I know that as a young priest, you are right where you should be with those young kids.
Yeah.
It brings you alive. You are, you know, there's joy. There's just so much joy there.
Yeah, and even just, you know, we got two guys, one guy applying for seminary for next year and another guy who will probably apply. He's going to be a senior next year in high school, but he'll probably apply as well.
Well, Father John, explain for our listeners. I know some of the things that this, again, just passing out good ideas of what you have done with the guys in introducing them to the seminary.
Well, once a year, we'll do a guys' day at the seminary over the summer. We'll rent out the pool. We'll bring a frisbee, play on the field. We'll get the lounge in the seminary. We'll barbecue.
And you take them.
Yeah,
don't you?
We'll a bunch of the chaperones will drive the guys down. And we'll just have an afternoon and evening down at the seminary. We'll have mass, then we'll swim, hang out, and maybe pray the rosary together, or pray night prayer or evening prayer together. Just a really great time of fun and fraternity and prayer with the guys. And we always have some seminarians come out to our Christ Power retreat during the summer. So the guys are around the kids in a really, really intimate basis of leading their small groups. So they get a lot of face time with seminarians.
And that's beautiful because I know, again, as a mom, that's what you had. We had seminarians over for dinner. You were surrounded by the joy and the fun and seeing these guys as normal.
Right.
They were out in our backyard pitching, playing ball with you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just, as a mom, I would just recommend that to other families of just introducing your children through ordination or inviting priests over, attending those things and letting your kids have face time.
Yeah. Invite seminarians over to dinner. They love food.
Yeah.
They love a good meal.
If you feed them, they will come.
Yeah. If you feed them, yeah, they will have a blast.
Okay, so we ask this question a lot on the Pearl of Great Price, and I want to do this for you as well. Just quick response. So who's your favorite saint and why?
Probably either Thomas More, my confirmation saint, or St. John Vianney, patron saint of parish priests. Just a man of great zeal, turning around a parish and making it the burning furnace of Catholicism, making it just a place that was on fire, a place that was used to be very apathetic, just turned it around. That's an example that I'd always want to follow.
All right, what's your favorite prayer? If you have a go-to.
Go-to prayer would be the Memorare. It's a favorite of mine. I like to pray a Memorare each day and kind of entrust my biggest intention of the day to Our Lady through the Memorare. That's a really, 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 really good one for me.
Okay. And what has been the most meaningful scripture verse or parable or psalm when you, and I'm sure, again, the whole Bible, of course, there's thousands.
You can't go wrong.
Right.
You can't go wrong.
What are some of those anchors that you, and by the way, as his mom, I will say, this kid memorized scripture verses very young. I don't know if there's one that's even through your childhood.
Yeah. I'd say from childhood, The Road to Emmaus. That's a classic. I love that a lot. Just the primacy of the Eucharist there and encountering Jesus in the person, but also through the breaking of the bread. And that was how they recognized him. Other great scripture passages that I love Psalm 8. Psalm 8. It was a passage that Dr. Larry Feingold at the seminary prayed with us on our very first day of philosophical anthropology class.
You're kidding.
It was, and it explained creation and the levels of life and just how God orders the world so beautifully. Psalm 8.
And you like that one?
I love it. Love it. Every time I come back to it in the Liturgy of the Hours, I absolutely love it. And obviously, the calling of the apostles, that's always a good one there too.
That is a great one. They dropped their nets and followed after him, which is so beautiful.
Yep.
All right, what is the most life-changing book you've ever read or your favorite?
Life-changing book? C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity was very good. That was an excellent, excellent read. I also loved Joseph Ratzinger's The Spirit of the Liturgy. Very much loved the Mass and loved the liturgy. That was an excellent, excellent book.
I know that was crucial for you. You did your thesis on
I did my thesis on sacred music, yes.
And the liturgy has always been a big part of who you are.
Yes.
And I know you always did very, very much respect and love and admire Pope Benedict.
Yeah.
So that was one that he wrote.
That was an excellent one there. Cardinal Dolan's Priest of the Third Millennium was another good one.
Mm.
Read that very early on in seminary. Great book for guys starting out. It's one I often recommend to guys who are discerning the seminary as well.
Excellent. Okay, so what would people be surprised to learn about you? I mean, you're out there, John.
Sure.
You don't have many secrets, that's for sure.
No, I don't.
You're a people person. You're very open. But what would people maybe be surprised to learn about you?
Well, even though I am pretty extroverted, I like to do, once in a while, I do what Father Anthony Gerber calls have an introverted night. Just kind of hang out, maybe watch some sports or something on TV. Just kind of relax once in a while. Everybody needs a little bit of rest and relaxation, but I also love golf. Pastoral theology 101, as we like to say, having a good golf game or at least being able to go to the links. I also play music, play the piano since I was three, pipe organ since I was in seventh grade, and love to sing and chant. I was in the choir for all throughout my time in seminary. I don't have too many secrets or anything like that. I've always been a pretty open book,
very easy guy to read as far as
what's on my mind.
And as your mom, I will say one of the beautiful things was that we did pastoral music together from the time John was 12 years old. He became a pastoral musician, and I was the cantor. And we did the music at 7 o'clock Mass at St. Ferdinand until the day you left for the seminary.
Yep.
And that was a beautiful time in our life. And so I know that that's, again, all of these experiences have formed you, have made you into the priest that you are. As your mom, I can honestly say that this is what God has called you to do. I see it in you. I see the fire. I see your joy. It's a true joy for us, and you're a blessing to our family.
Well,
for anyone who's listening, just to know to have a priest in the family really is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Okay, final question, because we're almost out of time. What do you wish people knew about the priesthood or understood about the priesthood?
The vast majority of our day, we're doing very ordinary things. Outside of Mass and prayer, a lot of meetings, answering emails, but it's all got a different motive for it. There's something different behind it. And we can step very quickly from the ordinary to the extraordinary. When I was a transitional deacon, I had a very difficult funeral. I had to bury a day-old baby boy. And I got back from the funeral home. I got a call from my youth minister saying, hey, we're playing futsal in the youth room. You want to come on up?
Wow.
And I was like, sure, I guess I'll come on up. And you go from something...
One extreme to the other.
What most people can go through in a lifetime, we can go through in a day. And as a priest, you kind of, you have to roll with it. You know, you're with people in their darkest moments, times where people have come to me expressing some of their great regrets and some of the failures that they've had in their life, and you have to be there with them to give them a helping hand and support them. And then you could go from there to a couple buddies at the parish, you know, from our core team. We're like, hey, we're going out for a pint. I'm going to watch some hockey. And you just go. You can go from back and forth, one to the other. It's an incredibly fulfilling and exhilarating life, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
I love it. Final words was, you wouldn't trade it for anything. Thank
you. Absolutely not.
Thank you, Father John Schneier, my son, for completing this two special broadcasts on the Pearl of Great Price to hear your story. And as your mom, again, thanks so much for being our guest
today. You're quite welcome.
Let's pray for vocations, and then can we have your blessing?
Absolutely.
In the name of the Father,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God, our Father, bless your church with an abundance of priests, deacons, brothers, and sisters.
Give those you have called to marriage and those you have chosen to live as single persons in the world the special graces that their lives need. Form all of us into the likeness of your Son, so that in him, with him, and through him, we may love you more deeply and serve you more faithfully. And Father, help me to know and to live my vocation with Mary. I ask this through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine upon you and show you his mercy. May he turn his countenance toward you and give you his peace. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Father John.
You're very welcome.
Join us next time for the Pearl of Great Price. Until then, go to pattyschneier.com to hear previously recorded broadcasts. Click on the radio show tab and share the link with family and friends. This is Patty Schneier reminding you to seek the will of God in all things and strive for holiness.